You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the great book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 1, where we left off last time. Matthew, chapter 5, verse 1. Before we begin, I want to invite every Christian in America to join me every Wednesday at 6 p.m., either here or wherever you are, to pray fervently for America. We have been captured by the Chinese Communist government without a shot being fired. God is still our God. Let us pray that Jesus be our Lord, the Bible our book, and restore our freedom. You're also invited to come each Sunday at 5 p.m., Wednesdays at 6 p.m., Sunday is at 5 p.m. for the live radio broadcast taping. I am in Suntree, Florida, right beside Scott Merson's The Produce Place. I am at 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. Wednesday 6 p.m., Sunday 5 p.m. And now Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. As always, I ask the Lord to show me his heart so I can share it with your heart. So from God's heart to my heart to your heart, here's what he gave me. Happy blessings to you.
Amen.
Happy blessings to you.
Amen.
As the curtain arises, multitudes, thousands of people are coming to the Lord Jesus. It was a dark time. I mean, a heathen government had taken over God's people. People were sick. They were afraid. They had lost hope. And then this beautiful Savior of Galilee, Stranger of Galilee, the light of the world, came and offered them hope. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cast out devils. And he said, I give you hope. And so the multitudes came to Jesus then because they needed Jesus. And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of the world, we need Jesus now.
Amen. Amen. Verse 1. And seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain.
Now, this is what we call the Sermon on the Mount.
And when it was said, his disciples came unto him. Verse 2. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying.
Now, you notice he says the disciples he taught them. Jesus is multitasking. He's taking care of the thousands over there. But right now, he's going to teach his 12 disciples so that they can go and teach others. See, you are being trained to reign. Reign means to teach in the millennium. So each one, teach one. So he's teaching his disciples. Now, what he is teaching them would be called the Beatitudes. Beatitude means blessing. Remember my title? Happy blessings to you. Supreme blessings. Everybody say, Beatitude means blessings.
Beatitude means blessings.
Three. Blessed are the poor in spirit.
Now, the word blessed there means happy. Okay. Beatitude is blessed. Happy blessings to the poor in spirit. Now, what does that mean? You're downtrodden, poor little me, I'm no good. No, no, no. It means humble. You see, pride goes before a fall. In the world that then was, 2 Peter 3:6, the first earth age, a beautiful, anointed, wise, just great musician, cherub, Lucifer, was so good for a long time, but pride came upon him, and he said, I will be God, and he fell. And Jesus says that everyone who exalts himself shall be abased, and everyone who is abased shall be exalted. So no matter what God gives you, houses, lands, carpets, chairs, money, gifts of Holy Spirit, stay humble. So, you are happily blessed for being poor in spirit. How are you happy blessed?
For theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Yours is the kingdom of heaven. You inherit heaven. Do you understand that? Because, see, you would have to be humble to say, I am a miserable, rotten sinner, and I deserve to go to hell. You'd have to be humble to say, I'll confess my sins, I'll repent of my sins, I believe Jesus saved me, and then you get to go to heaven.
Amen. Blessed are they that mourn.
Happy are they that mourn. Now, how in the world can you be happy when you are mourning? Now, Ecclesiastes says there's a time to mourn and there's a time to rejoice, okay? How can you be happy when you're mourning? Right now, all of the world is mourning, and especially our beloved America, which once was a Christian nation, which once was free. Jesus was the Lord, the Bible, the book. We're in mourning because we've been taken captivity. Our churches are being closed, our businesses. In other words, everything seems lost, so we are mourning. Now, when our forefathers, remember, the 12 tribes of Israel split. Two of them called themselves the house of Judah, 10 the house of Israel. When the house of Israel was captured and they settled in Europe, some of them, the house of Israel, Manasseh, Joseph's son Manasseh, settled these United States. So we are the seed of Abraham. But our forefathers, the seed of Abraham, the house of Judah, when they were captured because they had gone astray, like America has gone astray, they went into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they were so sad, and they were walking in chains as slaves, but some of them had their little harps because our people, our true seed, we always sing, we always play our musical instruments. And the captors said to them, play your little harp there and sing us a happy song of Zion. But they said, we cannot sing, we are mourning for our great nation. So they hung their hearts on a weeping willow tree. They hung their harps because their hearts were broken. Now, how can you be happy and blessed when you are mourning?
For they shall be comforted.
For you shall be comforted. Jesus said, I will send you another comforter, even the Holy Spirit. Do you know he'll wipe away your tears? He'll give you the peace that passes understanding, and he will comfort you, and he will give you the oil of joy for the garment of the spirit of heaviness. Also remember this, weeping tarries but a night, but joy comes in the morning.
Amen. Amen.
So happy and blessed are they that mourn, for joy comes in the morning.
5. Blessed are the meek.
Blessed are the meek. Happy are the meek. Okay. Happy and blessed are the meek. Now, most people think meek means weak. In other words, step on me again. In other words, go ahead, push me out, punch me out. I'm no good. I'm nothing. No, no, no. Meek means controlled strength.
Amen.
Happy and blessed are those who have controlled strength. Now, understand that right now, in America, we've got enough of God's people to step up and do some harm to the enemy. But we are not people who are tending to violence. We don't burn buildings down. We don't kill people. We don't do riots. We have controlled strength. You know, Jesus said, be angry and sin not. Did you know it's a good thing to be angry? I bet you thought you sinned every time you got angry. No, no, no. It's called righteous indignation. I mean, to be angry at something that's right. Jesus was angry. He had righteous indignation. He went into the temple, and they were selling these mite-infested doves to the poor people for sacrifices for a large amount of money. And he said, you made my house a house of merchandise. My house should be called a house of prayer for all people. Jesus got so mad, he turned over the tables, scattered their money, made a whip of cat of nine tails, and beat them on the back. That's righteous indignation. Now, you and I have controlled strength. We're not going to cut anybody's heads off. We're not going to go and riot. And we're not going to burn people's houses down. We're in spiritual warfare. We fight the lunatic spirit that has taken over America. Lunatic means the devil. His spirit lies, steals, controls, and destroys. So in spiritual warfare, in the name of Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, we command lying spirit, stealing spirit, controlling spirit, destroying spirit, you lunatic spirit in America, go to the abyss and never return.
Jesus' name.
Spiritual warfare, controlled. Now, how are you happy and blessed to be meek?
For they shall inherit the earth.
You'll inherit the earth. See, we cast them out. We inherit America again. Hallelujah.
Amen.
6. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness.
Okay. You have a hole in your soul, and you want it to be filled up. That's why people become alcoholics. You're empty. You just don't know what your life is. You're trying to make it stop hurting. That's why you do drugs. That's why you have one sex partner after another. That's why you eat too many chocolate hors d'oeuvres. In other words, you're trying to find something to fill the hole. David said to his son Solomon, when it was time for Solomon to take over the throne of Israel, he said, "Son, seek the Lord with all your heart. And if you seek him with all your heart, you will find him. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." Now, that hole in your soul cannot be filled with just going to church once a week. If you only go on Sunday, you're not seeking the Lord. Because the same word, glorious God message, is here on Wednesday. If you only go on Wednesday, you're not seeking the Lord. You couldn't wait to Wednesday, you couldn't wait to Sunday, you couldn't wait to rain on Saturday. You'd turn on the internet, play it over and over and over and over. Because only God, and he is the Word, can fill your soul.
Amen.
So you see, you have to seek him with all your heart. Now, how are you happy and blessed for seeking him with all your heart?
For they shall be filled.
For you shall be filled. That's what gives you the peace that passes understanding. Things happen here and things happen there. But when you seek after God, I'm telling you, he's the one that'll fill your soul. You know that happened to me. As a little girl, 5 years old, I just knew I was in love with Jesus and I loved him. At 10, I was water baptized. At 14, I began to say, "I want more of God." So we lived in a pecan grove, and near the property, there was this great big early American red barn. It was kind of, you know, unique. And I had the day off from school, and I said, "Mother, may I please take my Bible and go to the red barn because I want to find God." I stayed all day long at 14 years in the red barn. I didn't eat, I didn't drink, I didn't go to the bathroom. It was dark, and I know my mother's going to call me for dinner. But I found him whom I so loved. Now, I was already saved, but I found a new dimension of him. Do you understand? In other words, there's more dimension, more and more and more and more and more. And then I kept studying denominations and religions. I just always knew I loved him. I was saved. I was called. I loved the Bible. There's just more here than meets the eye. And one day he revealed to me, if I sought and sought and sought, the mystery of God.
Amen.
I've never been the same since.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
7. Blessed are the merciful.
Blessed are the merciful. What does blessed mean? Happy. Happy are the merciful. Now, this happy is not like happy hour or, happy burger or that kind of a thing, you know. In other words, it means a great peace. Happy are the merciful. Why is that? Right now, the United States of America is under the judgment of God, just like the house of Israel when God let them go into captivity 70 years to Babylon, just like the house of Israel when Sennacherib captured them, but then they migrate over the Caucasus Mountains. We're under judgment now, but we don't ask for judgment. We ask for mercy. Why is that? The Bible says God's mercy endureth forever. Those people who do you wrong, have mercy on them. I was teaching this grown man piano some years ago. He was a wonderful friend, and somebody had done him wrong. And so I said to him, "I know they did you wrong. What's your attitude?" And he said, "Sherry, I don't get mad, I get even." Well, he was teasing me. Of course he had mercy on them. have mercy on them. You know, happy people don't aggravate. In other words, people, if they had their heart right, would not bother you anyway. Now, why are you happy and blessed to be merciful?
For they shall attain mercy.
We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and be judged for our lives. And we're going to need mercy. If you're shown mercy, God will give you mercy. Amen. Knowing whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 8.
Amen.
8. Blessed are the pure in heart.
Happy are the pure in heart. What does that mean? That means that your motivation in being a Christian, your motivation in studying God's word, your motivation in praying, your motivation in tithing and giving offerings, your motivation in helping the poor, your motivation in doing good deeds is pure. It's not so that people say, hey, you're a good Christian. It's pure and it's holy. It's just perfect. You understand? It has no, there's no guile in it. Now, how are you happy to be pure?
For they shall see God.
Woo! The pure shall see God.
Yes.
Well, you say, well, I know we're going to see him when we stand before him face to face. Wait a minute. Who is God? God is the Word. You'll see the Word. What is the Word? The truth. You'll see the truth.
Amen.
Now, I study hours and hours and hours for every Wednesday night. I fast, I pray, I study Hebrew, Chaldean, Greek, and I'm anointed, and because I'm blind, I memorize the thing. I do the same thing for Sunday, hours and hours and hours and hours, radio, Day of Repentance, Christmas program, anything I do. But you know, sometimes, even with all of that, almost every time, I said it before this one, I said, Lord, there's something more here. Would you please reveal your secret to me? For you said in Amos 3:7, you will reveal your secret to your servants, the prophet. I don't know about being a prophet, but I'm a servant.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what he does? He downloads it to me. And then I say, thank you, Lord. I see.
Amen.
The Lord is the word. I see.
Amen.
Pure in heart. He'll do the same thing for you.
Yep.
Amen. 9. Blessed are the peacemakers.
Happy are the peacemakers. Okay. Now, most of you think that peacemakers means that you do not fight when somebody fights you. You let them walk all over you because you're a peacemaker. Ronald Reagan, the second greatest president we've had in America, the first greatest is President Donald John Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Donald John Trump and Ronald Reagan always say, there is peace in strength. In other words, Ecclesiastes again says there's a time for war and there's a time for peace. Now, when our soldiers, our military, our own Ron and Steve veterans here, when you go to war, you have to fight the enemy, but so you'll have peace in America. Understand? You're a peacemaker. When somebody breaks into your home and they're going to hurt your family, and you take your Second Amendment weapon there and wipe them out, you're a peacemaker because they were going to hurt your family. Understand? All right. Precious President Donald Trump has made peace in Israel. No president has ever been able to do it. They each try. They don't do it. The peace treaties. And so happy and blessed are the peacemakers. Now, how about you, Christian? That person sitting beside you, in church, in school, on the job, in the mall, wherever you go, in the dentist's office, the doctor's office, if you go to those, that person is in war. Most people are warring in their emotions. They're afraid. Oh, what are we going to do? They're terrified. You're a peacemaker. Take the word of peace, the word of God, and declare that word to them. And be a peacemaker, and you'll bring them peace. So, what is the happy blessing of peacemakers? Here is Donald Trump. You got a blessing coming, President.
Amen. Yeah. For they shall be called the children of God.
Amen. The peacemakers are the children of God. See, all those people who hate you, call you false prophets, write you ugly letters, burn down buildings, impeach innocent people, all that nonsense, take away your livelihood. These are not God's children. They hate. You know why they hate Donald Trump? He's got something they don't have. That's the really truth, if they would be honest with it. In other words, they hate because they have no peace. And so, you see, you are a peacemaker, and you bring that peace.
10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake.
Okay. Now, what this means is that you get some flack for doing the right thing. Okay? Say maybe you're a teenager, and you're a Christian, and you go to church, and your girlfriend or your boyfriend says, I'm not going to be your girlfriend or boyfriend anymore because you're too much of a Christian. I don't want a holy-roly. And so, see, you did the right thing. You do the right thing to dump them right away. Yeah. Don't even have a date with somebody unless they go to church with you. For heaven's sake, what are you doing? Amen. What are you doing? Yeah. You're causing yourself trouble. Because, you know, you're not going to bring them up. They're going to bring you down. Yeah. Okay. When you're doing the right thing, you get a job. And you got to check a little box there. Are you atheist? Are you Muslim? Are you Christian? So you check Christian. They said, I'm sorry. We can't hire you. We don't hire Christians. You did the right thing. So you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. President Donald Trump has been persecuted for doing the right thing for America. Yeah. All the other politicians go up there to get rich. He brought jobs back to America. Yes. He got rid of ISIS. Did you know that? Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. He brought peace in the Middle East. He brought jobs and trade back. He lowered our taxes. He built a wall to keep the drug gangs out. And he's the best defender of the faith we Christians ever had. Yeah. And I'm just only, you know, crushing the suffering. But he did the right thing. So he's persecuted for that. Okay. So when you do the right thing, you're still happy. Why?
For theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Because, you see, nobody's going to go to heaven if you don't do the right thing. Because, you see, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But to make that right, we confess our sins, we repent of our sins, we ask the Lord Jesus to wash them away with the blood, we obey him, we serve him, we stay true to the end, and then we go to heaven. We did the right thing.
11. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake.
Now this is different from just because you did the right thing. This means you get impeached, or like me, you get driven out of your church school 3 times by drug gangs just because you're doing the right thing. Or somebody lies about you. President Trump, Russia, 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 Ukraine, 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 stormy, 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 impeach, 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 and on. They lie about you, they gossip about you, they write you ugly letters and call you a false prophet, and all kind of bad things. Now, they're doing it, why? Because you're a Christian. In other words, that's different from just doing the right thing. In other words, when you get reviled, they won't even associate with you anymore. They put you away. They exile you because you are a Christian who loves Jesus. But they're lying about you, okay? Okay, you're happy and blessed. How are you happy and blessed?
12. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven.
You get a great reward in heaven. Judgment Day is going to be a reward day. Good job, good job, good job. Now, you notice it said rejoice and be glad. Now, that's pretty hard to do when you've just been knocked down and drug out and everything's gone. No, no, no. Okay, I want every one of you who is a real Christian, who loves Jesus, who's living for him, praying, filled with the Spirit, serving him, obeying, I want you to buy yourself a large journal. Will you do that? Okay, and every time you get persecuted because you are a Christian, write it down in there and then say, thank you, Lord, I rejoice. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Great is my reward in heaven. Now, everybody has troubles, so don't write that down. you don't get a reward for having trouble. That's just the way it is. Understand? We're talking about if you're reviled, lied about, hurt, impeached, all kind of bad things, ugly letters coming your way, you don't get the job, people leave you because you love Jesus, write it down. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, make sure you get persecuted for the Lord because you're Christian. If you don't, you're not doing any good. Okay, so start enjoying your journal.
For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you.
See, you're in elite territory in God's kingdom. You know what they did to Isaiah? Boy, what a great prophet he was. He was telling the government, boy, y'all are sinful. You better turn back to Jesus in the Bible. I mean, Jesus hadn't yet come, but you know, the Messiah's coming. They were trying to kill him, so he hid himself in a wooden log. This is, history tells us this. And he went to sleep. The enemy crept up on him, and they had a wooden saw. And they sawed the prophet Isaiah half in two with a wooden saw. Ugh, that takes a long time. But great is his reward in heaven.
Amen.
The prophet Jeremiah was telling the government, you better repent. And you church leaders, you better come back to God. Stop doing all that for money and fame. And you know what they did? They put him on a rope and put him down in a sewer. But great is his reward in heaven.
Amen.
Peter was crucified upside down. They were going to crucify him right side up, and he said, no, I'm not worthy to be crucified the way Jesus was, but great is his reward in heaven.
Amen.
James, the brother of John, was killed by Herod, but great is his reward in heaven.
Yeah.
All of the disciples except John the Revelator were crucified and killed for the Lord's sake. Look at those people ISIS cut their heads off. Great is their reward in heaven.
Amen.
In other words, Jesus said, don't fear those who could kill your body. Rather fear him who could kill your soul and body in hell. Matthew 10.
Yeah.
13. Ye are the salt of the earth.
Now, all of you who are happy and blessed, you are the salt of the earth. Okay, now let's talk about the salt, okay?
But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men.
Now, there are three very important good things that salt does for you. First of all, salt is a preservative. In early America, they did not have proper refrigeration, so the farmers who provide our poultry and our beefsteak and all these good things, when they butchered their animals, they would salt them down so they would not putrefy, so they could give them for food. In other words, salt preserves. Now, you are blessed and happy, and you are a peacemaker. You have the Word of God. The world is going to hell in a handbasket right now, as I think we can all say.
Amen.
And so you see, you meet people on your job, your family, your work, wherever you are, your school, and they are going to die. And you can preserve them by giving them the Word of God. Jesus died for you. He loves you. May I pray for you to be saved. Be salty. Preserve. Now, salt also is necessary in the body because the salt makes your food bring balance to your blood, so you have a balanced blood pressure. All right. Now, your food is the Word of God. Now, you want to see if you can bring some balance to this unbalanced world, those people around you. So you take food, the Word of God, and because you're salty, you share it with all those around you with blood coursing in their veins, and that brings a balance to them. They stop going over the rail. Understand?
Yeah.
Okay, salt gives a flavor to food. Now, you know you can have these mashed potatoes here. Ooh, there's some good steak and green beans. Boy, you're hungry. You take a bite of the mashed potatoes. Uh-oh, bland, boring, no salt. But then you call your good chef, and he makes your potatoes for you. You still got the steak, and you still got the green beans. Oh, yummy, yummy. Happy is your tummy, you see. Now, you're the salt of the earth. Wherever you go, you are to change the flavor. Now, please understand, I do not mean that you are to be rude or disrupt or burn down buildings or do violence. In other words, you don't usurp authority. You can go quietly in a place, and if you are happy and blessed and the salt of the world, the atmosphere changes. Why? Because you have the Lord Jesus Christ in you.
Amen.
And boy, is he salty.
Amen.
You have the Holy Spirit in you, and you have the Word of God in you.
Amen.
So everywhere you go, this has nothing to do with your personality. You can be quiet, you can be shy, but you still change the atmosphere. You know how good it is for a Christian who's for real to walk in a room. I'm not talking about people who say they're Christian, but they're always upset, they don't do any good, and they don't have any hope, and they don't have any word, blah, 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 blah. I know, we love you. But I'm talking about the Christians who live it 24 hours a day. You can't wait for them to walk in the room. The atmosphere changes. The flavor changes.
Yep.
Change the flavor.
Amen.
Now, I want everybody to say, please pass the salt.
Please pass the salt.
Okay.
14. Ye are the light of the world.
Ye are the light of the world. That's why we're singing all those songs about the light. You're the light of the world. The world in Jesus' time and the world now is very darkness. The world is covered with darkness. There's almost no light. People are terrified. They're locked in their homes. Their churches are locked. Their businesses are locked. And they don't know what's going to go on here with this new Chinese communist government. It's very, very dark. But you're the light of the world. Wait just a minute. Turn on your light. Everybody say, turn on your light.
Turn on your light.
A city that is settled in hill cannot be hid. 15.
Okay, Ronald Reagan said that a lot. He said, America is a city settled in hill. See, if you are a real Christian, you can't hide your light. I mean, you're going to shine. I can't help how shy and quiet you are. If you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, if you've got the Word of God in you, and you have got the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior 24 hours a day, there's just something different about you. Your whole manner is different. Let me tell you something. If a person say they're saved and there's no difference, check it out. We know them by their fruits, remember? Okay, you can't hide your light. You're not supposed to hide your light. America was to be the light. Our forefathers, Joseph son Manasseh, those pilgrims, put that cross up and dedicated this land to God the Father and to his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we'd be the light of the world.
Amen.
We'd lift up the cross, the blood, the name of Jesus
Amen.
To this world.
Amen.
America,
Amen.
Don't you dare let your light go out.
Amen.
Amen. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house.
If everyone lit just one little candle, what a bright world this would be.
Amen.
You're Christians. You go to work. You go to school. You go here. You go to the mall. You go to the gym. You go here and there. Wherever you go, keep your light shining. Don't sit there and not speak up for Jesus. Stand up. Speak up. In other words, shine, shine, shine.
16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
As a child, I memorized this. I encourage all of you to memorize this. Let's all say it together now. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, we know that when we do our good works, we don't do it so people say, hey, aren't you good? Look at what you did. You did great. No, 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 no. In other words, again, if you're a true Christian, people are going to see there's a difference in you. You're going to actually do some good works. You can't help it. John 15, Jesus says, I am the vine, you're the branch. If you abide in me, you will bear fruit. The fruit is your work. If you're saved, you're going to make a difference. You're
Amen.
Going to win souls. You're going to share the
Amen.
Word.
Amen.
You're going to give all kind of things away that people think you ought to keep. You're going to just change the atmosphere. You will bear fruit. Let people see it. And they'll say, how can he and how can she give all their money away and still be happy when America's been captured by communist China? How can you be happy? Because you'll say, Oh, they have God. They have God. Amen. See, greater is he who's in you Amen. Than he who's in the world. Amen. So that they can give glory to God. See, right now, most of you are mourning. We understand that. But we need to laugh. Let's rejoice. Yeah, great amen. Is our reward amen. In heaven.
Amen.
And yeah, because how can you be happy because of God? Amen. To God be the glory.
Amen.
17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill.
The law is the word of God. Many people think that Jesus did away with the Old Testament. No, no, no. That's all about Jesus. The law, you're still supposed to not steal and not covet and all those good things. What he did away with it was ordinances. Colossians chapter 2, he nailed the blood ordinance to the cross. We no longer have to find a clean animal and sacrifice that blood for our sins. Jesus once and for all did that. So he didn't come to change the word. We still need Genesis 1 through Revelation 22. The old is the new. The new is the old. It's one.
Amen. 18. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled.
Now, we have three earth and heaven ages. They pass away, but heaven will always be and earth will always be. So Jesus says, till hell freezes over, nothing's going to change. Now, a jot is a Greek word and it means iota. You've heard that word? It's the smallest letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Jesus says, I'm not changing the smallest letter from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. A tittle is like a little embellishment, a little mark over a word to show you how to pronounce it, whether you say a or ah, whether you say tomato or you say tomato, whether you say potato or you say patata. And so the word endures forever. So everybody, pass the salt, turn on the lights, and happy blessings to you from Jesus. Amen. We'll begin right there next time.
Amen.
I pray you to bless. At this time, let me introduce to you the owner of the produce place in Melbourne, Florida, man of God, my twin friend, very salty and very shining, Scott Merson. How are you,
I'm
Scott?
I'm doing very well, Miss Sherry. Thank you. Thank you, my salty friend.
Awesome. David left his stuff in the cart, and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
Arise, shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and a gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Isaiah 60:1-2.
Amen. Absolutely Amen. Perfect. Thank Amen. You. Great, Scott.
Amen.
Now, in a moment, I'm going to pray for the sick. But first of all, anyone who's not saved, pray this prayer with me and mean it in your heart, and God will save you right now. You know the time is short. What you're going to do for God, you need to do it now. Okay. When I say the time is short, we're going to live forever, but I'm talking about time in this earth age, this flesh. Understand?
Yes.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please forgive all my sins.
Please forgive all my sins.
Omission and commission.
Omission and commission.
Known and unknown.
Known and unknown.
Wash them away with the precious blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the precious blood of Jesus.
Fill and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Fill and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
And use me.
To win many souls to Jesus.
To win many souls to Jesus.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen. 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 Now, the Bible says confession is made into salvation. You need to tell someone. I invite all of you out there in cyberspace, radio, internet, digital cell phones to call me. My announcer will give you my number in a little bit and leave that message on my voicemail and confess that you've been saved. Now, let me pray for the sick. Father, in Jesus' name, you said in Malachi 4, for those who fear your name, excuse me, the Son of Righteous will arise with healing in your wings. So, Father, in Jesus' name, for everyone under the sound of my voice who has any sickness, disease, infection, affliction, any kind of pain in their body. O Son of Righteousness, let the laser beams of Jesus' healing virtue go into there, into the cells, the joints and marrow, the lymph nodes, the neck. Cancer be gone, diabetes be gone, arthritis be gone, all kind of disease, coronavirus be gone, fever be gone, leukemia be gone, all kinds of disease be gone in the name of Jesus. He said his word and healed you. He restores health and cure to you. You shall not die, but even declare the works of God. Pick up your bed and walk. For with Jesus' stripes, you are healed. And we all say, I agree
in Jesus' name.
Now, you might want to call and tell me that, too. Nothing is given to you to keep, so go and tell, and God will give you some more. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your host, Sherry Medlock. I love you with all my heart. And I can't wait until next time when you and I get together as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, Vieira, FM 102.3.
Is it true?
Count on one thing, the same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. Yes, I will lift you high. Shower. shine over all generations. Have your way, Lord, we come in repentance through the blood of forgiveness. Have your way, for the
thank you.
my hands to praise you. May the words of my heart and the prayer of my soul, yeah, reach out to you, Lord of all. And I will sing to you, Lord.
And your radios are tuned in to W272BA, 102.3 FM and 91.5 FM, WMIE.
This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station, WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
We don't say that computers happened.